reading to you from the 18th chapter of Luke and the 29th verse. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Good evening, my dear friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying over these years to do just that. I wished I could tell you that I've always, always done what God wants me to do, because I can't do that. I'd be telling you a lie. I've tried the best way I know how to tell people that Jesus saves. And I'll tell you right now, friends, that's the greatest message you can preach today. And there's a life after this life. Now, you can spend eternity in hell, or you can spend eternity in heaven. And you know what? The choice is yours. Well, listen, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 2 Corinthians and the 9th chapter. Let's begin reading with the 6th verse. I've titled this, All About Christian Living. If you want to be a popular preacher, don't preach on All About Christian Giving. But I'm telling you, friend, it's a most misunderstood and misused part of the Christian life. Reading the 6th verse, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He that scattereth abroad gives gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your stores of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, Ben will praise God for the obedience and accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to the gift for this unsearchable riches. Friends, again, I say this is very misunderstood and a misused part of the Christian life. Those who make money raising everything, those who use gimmicks, those who make giving an unimportant part of the Christian life. Now, the Bible lays down principles for giving. We can never enrich God with our giving. And I read in 2 Chronicles 29, 9 and 14. Yours, O Lord, is a greatness and a power and the glory of the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is a kingdom. You are the exalted ones. As head over all, wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power, and exalt to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Well, listen, I believe, and I'm not going to tell you the name of my denomination because that's not important at all, but I will say one thing good about our denomination. We have the best giving program there is in the world to spread our wealth with churches. And every church takes up so much money, and they send it to the headquarters, and they disperse that money to churches, little churches and large churches. And our missionaries don't have to go around and beg for money like a lot of most of denominations do. They come back from the mission field and they go out for 3 years, deposition they call it, begging for money so they can go back and preach. That's not the way God intended to be. Read the Bible. It'll tell you exactly how we're to give. Well, David, near death, prepares the people to build the temple. And the tremendous offering in verse 5 and 9, it says, I'm trying to find 5 and 9, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you have promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Well, let me ask this. How do you give, and when you give, how do you do it? Do you really, really give with a giving heart? Listen, friends, if you read the Bible, God was always on the giving end. Oh, listen, John 3:16, my very favorite topic. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has always been on the giving end. Now, I've always said this. There's two kind of Christians. There's the givers, and then there's the takers. There's those who give. Every time there's something to give, they do. Even though they don't have a superabundant of money, God said he'd take care of us if we take care of his business. But even all this cannot enrich God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All that is in heaven and earth belongs to him. And no wonder a man cannot buy his way into heaven. No wonder you cannot gain favor with God by your giving. See, God wants your heart, then your offerings. And if you don't get your heart, he don't want your offerings. We should give regularly and systematically. And it says in 1 Corinthians 16, give on the first day of the week. Now about the collections for God's people, do what I told the Galatian church to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I came, no collections will have to be made. I think that's a good, good idea. See, Paul was having some of these little small churches were really suffering financially. And as you know, when a Jew got saved, his family turned him out. They didn't want anything to do with him. Well, so Paul said, we got to give to these people, but you got to keep your money, save it up. And then from there on, it's the way he works. Well, some may give great sums spasmodically. Now, this may seem more impressive, but some give only when moved by some great need. Some intend to leave a great amount when they die. A Bible teaches a weekly accounting of your giving, systematically as God hath prospered him. No tipping, please. A percentage of what God has given. That's what he said. Everybody has to give the same way. Now, Old Testament examples of percentage giving. Now, read in Genesis 14. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. The Abram gave him a tenth of everything he had. Well, you know, folks, I tell this story, and you've heard it before, but When I first accepted Jesus and I joined this church and I really thought I'd died and went to heaven, I was so happy. I don't have drunk friends. I have sober friends, real friends. I mean real friends, people that hugged your neck and people who would invite you over for your family or for dinner, or they'd come by your house with their Bible and have Bible study with you. Well, every Sunday morning, dear friends, when that offering tray was passed, I reached in my pocket and proudly put my $1 in that offering tray. Now, I was helping pay the pastor's salary, and I was helping give to the mission program and this and that. Well, about 3 months after I was saved, their pastor had what they call a new Christian orientation. And what he did, he took the Bible and he preached things to baby Christians that was important to them, like baptism and giving and church membership and on and on. Well, this particular, and I was just enjoying him to pieces until this one Sunday night that Brother Tom got up and said, "Now, I'm going to speak about a subject that may not be too familiar to you people, but it's very important." And he said, "That's tithing." And I thought, what in the world was tithing? Well, we are to give 10% of all that we have to the Lord. I said, "Oh, wait a minute. This isn't going to fly with Cecil. I'm giving my dollar every week. I can't do that." And on the way home, I was mad. I didn't think that preacher had any business telling me how I am supposed to give to the Lord and His work. Well, now let me tell you what happened to show you that God is real and He don't lie and He doesn't put more on you than what you can bear. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll try this tithe out and see if it's how it works. Now, that was a wrong attitude. That was a wrong attitude, but that's what I did. And this particular Sunday, I think my tithe was $10, I believe it was. We had $30 in the bank, and that's all the money we had And I said, "Lord, you know, this pastor of ours has been preaching about tithing, and I'm just wondering if this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, Lord, I only have $30 in the bank, and my tithe is $10. And I don't have a job in sight. Now, whatever you want me to do, you just show me how to write that check out this morning before I go to church." I went up to my office, and I sat down, and I wrote a check for $10. And you know, it felt kind of good. It felt kind of good. Well, now, this will blow your mind. Just before we left the house, it's on a Sunday morning, go to church, the phone rings. And this man said, "Is this Cecil Moe?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know, 2 or 3 months ago, you were giving us an estimate on putting a new roof on my house." I said, "Yeah, I remember that." He said, "Well, my wife and I was having coffee this morning, having breakfast, and we decided to go with you instead of this other contractor. When could you do the roof?" I said, "Is tomorrow too soon?" My stars in the morning, I just literally walked on air going to church that morning. Well, then I got a real test. I mean a real test. I got a call from this man that owned this big store. He was a deacon in a Presbyterian church. And he said, "I'd like to give me an estimate on roof." So I went over there and gave him an estimate. And I gave him an estimate for this one roof, and then there was more expensive roof, which was... He said, "Well, I'll probably go with the cheapest roof." But he said, "I'll tell you one thing, Cecil, you'll have to do this on a Sunday." Oh, I said, "I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'll have to call my pastor." He said, "Why do you have to call your pastor?" I said, "Because I do." So I called Brother Tom. I said, "Brother Tom, I'm in a dilemma. I can get this roof job, and I need the money because I got to pay out my bills. But I got to work on Sunday." And he said, "What?" I said, "I have to work on Sunday." "Well," he said, "you just call her back and say you won't be there because you won't do the work on Sunday." Oh, I didn't want to hear that. But I hung up and I called the guy and I said, "Well, I can't do it. My pastor said to be in church because I'm just a young Christian and a converted alcoholic." So anyway, I went to church with a heavy heart because I really wanted that job. Now get this, folks, get this. Monday morning, I received a call from this deacon that owned this building. He said, Cecil, you know, my wife and I got to talking it over, and you wanted to go to church on Sunday, and maybe we were a little, maybe we shouldn't do it that way. So he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Why don't you go ahead and plan on doing the roof on Saturday if you can? And by the way, I want that more expensive roof, which I don't remember. I was several hundred dollars more profit in that job. And then from that time on, I realized that God, you can't outgive God. Don't try it. And you cannot enrich yourself with God by giving. And you can't buy your way into heaven. But you must do it according to God's plan. He has a perfect plan for giving. And old Jacob said, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth of thee. Genesis 28:22. In this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you one tenth. Well, he says in Malachi, bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse. A percentage should come off the top. Otherwise, that's called the first fruits. Under grace, our giving should exceed that under the law. Listen, we should give generously and cheerfully, expecting that God will meet our needs. And what did he say in 2 Corinthians 9:6-9? Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and he is able to make all grace abound you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Oh, my friends, listen, God surely loves a generous giver. You know what? I've known a lot of poor Christians. I mean, literally poor. And they gave and they gave. But they always seemed to have enough of everything. Why? Because God said they would. Not grudgingly or of necessity. And do not give if you do not want to. Friends, if you give and you don't want to, you might as well save your money, because God won't accept that gift. He won't accept it. Only when you want, only when you want to do it because you love the Lord. Well, and what does it say in Philippians 4:19? And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And he will. Otherwise, giving your way to prosperity. Now, here, you say, wait a minute, Cecil. I think I've heard you criticize those preachers that ask for a $1,000 seed offering. Yes, I do. I sure do. Because they tell you if you send a seed offering, God has to bless your children, has to save your children, has to help you never be sick again, and on and on and on. These aren't scriptural. These are man-made things as a con or a scheme to make money. Listen, here's what you do. If you hear one of those preachers, get on the phone and say, hey, listen, if I send you $1,000 a seed offering, and if it don't work out, would you send them $1,000 back? They'll hang up on you. Hey, I got a phone call from a church down in Florida, big church. They do preach the gospel, though, I will tell you that. And they wanted me to give them some money. Then on top of that, they wanted me to make out a will leaving my money to them. That's not scriptural. Well, let me ask this. How does your giving measure up? Are you willing to take God into this part of your life? Friends, I will guarantee it'll enrich your life. You know, the Bible said, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Oh, listen, friends, there's so many things that we can do. You don't have to do big things. Your neighbor's having a hard time eating. They don't have any food. Take them over something to eat. You say, well, I don't have much myself. Just share what you got with them. Share your loaf. Oh, you'll be surprised. What a blessing. You know, there's an adventure in giving. You know, our ministry before I got sick and I couldn't do it, for years, we gave at Christmas time. We gave tons of groceries to the needies, families here in Colorado. Oh, my. And I taught all my grandchildren, all of them learned this, the joy of giving. And we'd take food to them, turkey. We'd take 2 weeks' groceries to every family. I recall one time, my wife and I took some groceries to this little old widow living in an apartment house. And we walked in there, and she saw that there was flour, 5 pounds of flour in there, and she began to cry. She said, you know what, I don't have any money, but I can make some cookies for my grandchildren. And she just rejoiced, and we rejoiced with her. Oh, friends, listen, you can't outgive the Father. I tell you, you say, well, Cecil, I don't understand. Well, I didn't understand either. But don't give because I ask you to give to the Lord's work, your church. You give because God said to do it. It's the right thing to do. You know something else, friends, that bothers me? You know, there's a lot of churches have widows, and they're struggling. They're hungry, but the church don't seem to go out and help them. That's scriptural. We need to help those people who have need. Don't close your eyes to the need of the poor, because he said if you do, you're going to pray someday, and your prayers won't be heard. Well, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Come on, tell me. You want to start today? You want to bow your head with me right now, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, for that dear brother, that dear sister that's struggling with their giving, oh God, please help them. Help them to see that this is God's word, not Cecil's word. This is your word, and that you will bless and you will take care of their every needs, not our greeds, but our every needs. So, Lord, I pray they'll make a commitment today to start tithing to the Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. Hey, do I have to tithe? I'm not even a Christian. No. No, don't do good. He wants your heart and then your tithe. He wants your heart first. How do you give him your heart? By confessing that you're a sinner. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight, would you like to, if you got a tugging at your heart, oh, would you like a Jesus? Tell him that you want him to be your Savior. If you do, bow your head with me right now and repeat this powerful, powerful prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven, but because of what you said and your word, I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So right now, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, friends, listen. You've never heard me ask you for any money, have you? I'm not going to start now. Why? Because God supplies my needs. Am I rich? Shoot, no. Go to my banker and he'll say, that guy's not rich. But he is a giver. And I try to live according to the Bible and his way of giving. Well, friends, you say, well, Cecil, I'd like to talk to you. Well, call me, 303-471-8534. I'd like to talk to you, okay?
Touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know it touched me and made me whole.
Well, friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, I pray that you do learn that God wants us to give from a heart full of love for Him. You know, you can be the richest man in the world and be just as bankrupt as there is in the world. Your heart could be empty. Without Christ, you've got nothing anyway. But you can have Christ and you can have prosperity, if that's what God wants for your life. But you share that and you help people who are less fortunate, and you will find out that this blessings are beyond our comprehension. Well, friends, I want you to continue to pray for our health and pray for our prison ministries, that God will bless us and God will give us precious souls for our hire. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.